Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right, well, the most important question of the hour is, how did Joseph and Mary weigh baby Jesus at birth? They had a way in the manger. Yes, yes. Alex, if you could dim these lights, that would be awesome. I'm getting blinded. That'd be awesome. Thank you. How about what happened to the man who stole an Advent calendar? He got 25 days. That's a good one. All right. I've been trying. I had one chance at some Christmas jokes here. So I wanted to just take a moment and recognize all that we have been learning together as a church. And if you're just visiting or if you've just more recently come, you might have missed some of the message series that we did at the beginning of the year. So don't worry, I'm not going to go through all 12, but I wanted to mention a few. So we talked about getting to know God through his names. Can I have some water? That would be wonderful. Thank you. Through his names. We talked about life habits. We talked about life purpose and mission. Does anyone remember the Holy Spirit CPR message? Thank you. Yeah, that was a pretty good one. That was very practical. We talked about how to be a witness of hope. We talked about how the harvest is ready and a city on a hill. And one of my favorite messages of all, and I can say that because it was about 5 minutes long, was done last February when we had the Christian comedian here. And I talked on joy for only about 5 minutes, and then he got the rest. And he ended up ending his morning message, which was kind of like a comedy slash sermon type thing, in the book of Revelation. And let me tell you, you have not heard the book of Revelation until you've heard a comedian say it. And he wasn't making anyone laugh, to clarify. He was saying, look at the end, and that's why we can laugh. It was a powerful message. So that was back in February, one of my very favorites. These are all on our website under podcasts if you do want to catch up or if one of those message series stand out to you. But we've got a whole new year ahead of us and just some exciting things that God has been putting on the pastors' hearts here to share. January's series is going to be called Thriving Homes. And first off, we're going to define what a home is, because it may not be what you think it is, all right? So get ready for that. That'll start in the new year, and I'm just excited to be on this journey with Jesus with you. But this past month, we've been unwrapping Christmas. So has everybody got their gifts wrapped? How many have their gifts all wrapped? All right. You're the people we want to be, like, running all our events with, right? How many have all their gifts arriving in the mail today? I'm the only one? This is dangerous. All right, well, I've got a lot of packages. Amazon's gonna think I don't know what. But I never order online, and today is a different day. So they're all coming today. How about who has all their gifts to wrap still? Okay, all right. So I'm closer to be with you guys, but no one else is like me. This is not good. So y'all can pray for me after church. But today we're unwrapping one of the gifts of Christmas. And it might not be a gift that you normally think of. In fact, I started writing this message and I thought, nah, this isn't Christmassy enough. This isn't, you know, wonder-filled enough. Until I realized, no, this really is the heart of Christmas. So we're going to unwrap this gift together. And let's see. Where's the manger? Oh, there's the manger. Well, there were gifts in the manger, but there aren't any more. But that's what we had been having as a picture for this series. Our key verse is in Romans 8:19. If you've got your Bible out, we've got a lot of scriptures, but I will try to leave time so you can actually open it. And teenagers, I'm calling on you. Grab a Bible, all right? Steal a Bible from somewhere around you, and it's a good way to stay engaged, okay? So Romans 8:19. I'm not going to read the whole passage like I had been reading every other Sunday this month, but I encourage you, if you get into the book of Romans 8, that's not the whole book, but get into the chapter of Romans 8, you could spend your life in Romans 8, and you will never stop learning. But I encourage you, if you don't know where to go, or if you've been reading the Gospels, get into Romans 8, because it really unpacks the heart of God in a really powerful way. So Romans 8:19 says, "For creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed." Or, in my translation, unwrapped, right? It actually means in the root, uncover or reveal. And I think it's not too far off to say unwrapped. So all creation is waiting every day, like Christmas morning and a child waiting to unwrap what's under the tree. And this month we talked about how we don't want to just leave the gifts under the tree wrapped. That wouldn't be a Christmas morning. We actually want to unwrap what God has given us, who God is in our lives. We don't want just Christ in us all wrapped up. We want Christ in us and Christ getting out of us to touch the people around us, right? That's how you start to have thriving homes. So this past month we asked, the first question we asked was, when was your first Christmas? And Pastor Caleb brought that message. He talked about Paul and Silas, which, again, are not normally a Christmas sermon, but it was one of the most powerful sermons. It has stayed with me. If you missed it, I encourage you to listen to it. When was your first Christmas? And my prayer and our prayer for you today is that if you haven't had one, that today would be your day. We talked about unwrapping the all things of our lives to see the good that God gives us. Remember, all things work together for those who love the Lord. So unwrapping the all things. And last week we talked about unwrapping who God is through calling on his name. Who do you call God this Christmas? Who do you invite God to be in your life this Christmas? Some of us have just invited him to be someone we call once a year. And maybe it's time that we start calling him friend or father or savior. So I encourage you, even if you don't hear anything else of today's sermon, to walk away and ask, what do I call God this Christmas? Who do I call him in my life? So the 12 days of Christmas begins tomorrow, and who knows the 12 days of Christmas song, right? All right, so we're going to try to sing this right now. I don't have all the lyrics in front of me, so it's going to be a horrible failure probably, but can someone start the song? I don't even remember the melody right now. We're going to do all of them right now. Partridge in, oh no, that doesn't work. Okay, keep going. On the second day. Okay, we'll just stop there. The entire sermon time will be that song. But did you know, maybe some of us did know this, but did you know that that is actually a coded message? Did anyone else know that? Now, maybe some of you, if you're into history, maybe you would know that, but I did not know that. And so, let's see, I didn't, again, do all the song. My first rendition of my sermon, I had an entire page with the song, and I thought, this is not a good use of our time this morning. Google exists for a reason, okay? But a partridge in a pear tree, Jesus is symbolically the mother partridge as the only bird that will die to protect its young. Two turtle doves represent the Old and New Testament biblical roadmaps that is for everyone. Three French horns is 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love. Four calling birds represent the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it goes on. It's a really fascinating historical study. So I encourage you to look it up later if you want the entire page. But in the Dark Ages, in some Eastern European churches, the 12 days of Christmas meant daily church attendance. So if you thought us hosting two services today was a lot, you could be back then needing to go to church every day, right, for the next 12 days. But it was actually taught as a week, or I guess it would be almost 2 weeks here, of renewal, of refreshment, of centering yourself on God for 12 days. And that's really beautiful. On a lighter note, for the past 38 years, the PNC Bank releases its Christmas Price Index, which tallies up how much it would cost to give your true love the full 12 days of Christmas. If you give them how they appear in the song, it is $200,000. If you give them just once, it's $40,000. I did check. I think that is 2023's numbers. All right. And I don't know if you have any Office fans here. I have not seen this, so I'm not endorsing it or not. But apparently, Andy Bernard tried to give the 12 Days of Christmas in The Office in 2009, and no one realized that he was actually like trying to give $200,000 worth of things. So I don't think anyone else here, hopefully $200,000 worth of gifts are not arriving in your, if they are, I might just stop by later today, right? Might feel the love. But some of us can feel like Christmas is coded this Christmas. You know, you might feel like it's a silly song, you might feel like it's too expensive, and you might not feel or understand or even be able to encounter the Christmas spirit this year. I don't know about you, but there's a lot going on around us right now. And if you find yourself in that place, I just want you to know you're welcome here and you're not alone. You know, maybe it's the joy and goodwill towards men that might feel coded. You can't decode it for yourself this year. Maybe it's peace on earth. It kind of feels like a secret that can't be solved. And so I want to uncode Christmas with you this morning, just like the 12 Days of Christmas song. All right, so we're just going to take a few minutes here and we're going to uncode Christmas. Are you ready? All right. So who here felt like this was a year of progress? Anybody? You don't need to raise your hand. I know I'm like doing a lot of this morning. I'm just engaging with you, but you don't have to. But think about it. Was this year a year of progress for you? Maybe some of us feel like we went backwards. Maybe some of us were disoriented for the entire year and just trying to find a footing. But in order to decode Christmas, we must realize that every year is a process, right? Every year there is progress. And even if you're a parent and you have to lock yourself in the bathroom for 5 minutes tomorrow, I encourage you, find a quiet spot and ask, how have I grown this year? Even if this year was one of the hardest years of your life, there's always something to learn and there's always a way to progress and advance. And that's what the word process means. So everyone, can you say process? So to decode Christmas, we must realize that Christmas unwraps a process that we're invited into. And one of the best gifts Christmas gives us, of course, other than Jesus, is the gift of process. So let's unwrap how. Some of us today are looking for a savior, maybe after the death of a loved one, or you feel like a dream has ended and you're looking for a savior. Maybe you're on a long journey and you're not sure where it will end right now. Maybe you're trying to trust God when life is throwing extreme change into the mix and everything seems turned upside down. But if these are the emotions you're feeling, you're in the right place because those are the feelings that surround the first Christmas, not just peace, joy, and hope for all humanity. Imagine with me for a second, what would have happened if the wise men had said no to the long journey following the star in Matthew? What would have happened? How about Simeon? What if Simeon had given up on seeing the Messiah? Or the prophetess Anna, who prayed daily and never left the temple, had said no after her husband died and just given up in Luke 2? What if Mary had said no to the angel in Luke 1, or Joseph had said no to the process of trusting God and being a father? Some might say he was a stepfather. I don't know how that all works out. But he wasn't a normal father, we'll put it that way, right? What if they had said no to the process? Generations would have missed a savior. You meeting Jesus in your process is more than just about you. It's about the generations to come. Can you imagine if the Australian revivalist who planted this church 30 years ago, who just kind of wanted to burn out, what if he had said no to meeting Jesus in his process? We wouldn't be standing here, right? And most likely, we're all standing here with Jesus because someone else first said yes. Maybe you don't know who they are. Maybe you do. And it's a great day to thank them for saying yes before you so you could say yes to Jesus too. See, God could have sent his son to earth as a grown man, but he chose to come in the most vulnerable way. And if you're in a church across America, you're probably hearing that message this morning, right? And I just saw everyone's faces. They're like, yep. But let's just unpack this for a second, all right? Some of us have heard this Christmas story for the umpteenth time, but Jesus should never become too familiar because there's always something more to learn. How many wish you could just Amazon delivery the answers to your worries and emotions? Anybody? If I did, all of mine would be arriving today, right? If I stayed on track. But God didn't even do that for the answer for the greatest problem on earth, right? He didn't even do that there. Jesus isn't waiting for the process to be done to show up in your life. He's in the process waiting to carry you through to complete it. So wherever you are in the process this morning, I want to invite you to stop pushing Jesus out of the process and say, wait a minute, God, I need to just put a bow on this. When God says, no, I want to unwrap it, actually, and I want to get down in there, and I want to be in the process with you. It says in Philippians 1:6, teenagers, that's your cue to go find Philippians 1:6, all right? You can just stay there for a second. But Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will maybe carry it out. No? Is that wrong? Will carry it out to semi-completion. No? Is that wrong too? To completion until the day of Christ Jesus, right? And that word completion means to bring to an end, to fulfill. And when I looked it up, this was really beautiful. In John 19, it says Jesus is on the cross, right? And Jesus says, it is finished. That word finished is the same word as completion. And then if we rewind all the way back to Genesis, on the sixth day, God said, right, it is good, right? So from creation all the way to redemption, God has carried that he has carried you and I and all of humanity to turn it into good, right? And he has completed it just from what he said on the cross. So let's unpack this just a little bit more. I want to actually talk about the wise men and Simeon and Anna. Who has ever been to a church where they talked about Anna on a Sunday morning? Uh-huh. Okay, we've got two. That's great. Everybody can raise their hand after this morning. She is an unsung hero of Christmas and often skipped over. But we're going to start with the wise men. So have you ever wondered, how did the Babylonian wise men know about a Jewish prophecy? Has that ever occurred to you? Right, you've got the cute wise men coming up and they're doing all their thing here. But have you ever stopped to wonder, how in the world did they even think to look for a Messiah? They're Babylonian, right? Now, we don't know a ton about them, but if you look at history, there are some things that we can maybe assume, okay? So King Nebuchadnezzar assigned the prophet Daniel to the high office of chief of the magicians, enchanters, and astrologers and diviners in Daniel 5:11. So Daniel was, in other words, appointed the chief of magi. He was the chief wise man. And I don't know if you've ever noticed that in scripture. If you've done a deeper dive, maybe you have. But Daniel, way back, was actually the chief wise man. And in Daniel 2, 27 through 28, it says, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. All right? So Daniel's prophecies became well known, we can assume, to the magi. Not only that, but the book of Isaiah was most likely taught to the Magi way back when. And there's a prophecy that actually, if you unpack it in Daniel, points to a very specific time frame that would have directed the wise men to be aware, to be looking for a Messiah. So how many know if Daniel had not invited God into his process when he was in a horrible process with King Nebuchadnezzar, right? That whole journey. If he hadn't encountered God there, then the Magi wouldn't have known to look for Jesus. Whether you encounter God in your process now can determine whether people later will look for Jesus, right? This is just a fun fact. Studying the skies around the time of the birth of Jesus using NASA technology, Rick Larson discovered an extremely rare triple conjunction. Now, I'm not a planet or stars person. My cousin is, but maybe someone is here, and you can look it up later. But the NASA tech, Rick Larson, says, the result was the brightest star that anyone alive had ever seen. And I had a whole paragraph about it because it was very specific with Jupiter and a couple others that all lined up. And when you actually looked at the meaning of them, there was even the Lion constellation involved, which for as long as time has been around has been known as the Lion of Judah or would have represented that. So you've got so many different signs in the skies, but the wise men wouldn't have even known if Daniel hadn't met Jesus or hadn't met God in the process. So if you're in the middle of the process today and you feel like Christmas is coded and you feel like it's a mystery, I want to invite you to get into the scriptures. Because if you think about it, that's how the wise men knew. They knew because they knew the word of God, because they had been taught it by someone else who encountered God in the process. So I want to encourage you, don't just look to the stars, right? Look to the creator of the stars. Look to the one who created them, and then look to the word of God. And you'll start to be guided in your journey in a way you never have before. The two other people I want to talk about briefly are Simeon and Anna in Luke 2. So if you have your Bible, teens, you can get Luke 2, 22 through 38. But I actually think it might even be bigger than that, but you can see it pretty clearly in the Bible. We're going to start with Simeon. Simeon is said to have been a righteous and devout man who had the Holy Spirit on him. That is really noteworthy because Pentecost has not yet happened. So this is a really special man. He actually had the Spirit of God on him, it says. And he was promised that he would not die before seeing the Messiah. How many know that is a promise, right? How many would have held on to that promise or just given up? I don't know what I would have done. That's a big promise. It's been silent for hundreds of years. I don't know if I could hold on that long to that level of faith. But it says in Luke 2 that moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought the child, Jesus. Moved by the Spirit. Simeon was moved by the Spirit and encountered the Messiah in his process of waiting. So some of you today may feel like you're on a long journey and you're trying to find who Jesus is. And like a wise man, you might need to get into the red letters of the Bible and discover who is Jesus. Pick up a Jesus journey on the way out at the hub. Or maybe some of us have been in a long process of waiting. You just feel like you're waiting and waiting and waiting for whatever it is. And God is saying you can be moved by the Spirit. And when you let the Holy Spirit actually touch you, you can encounter the Messiah. Isn't that powerful? Then we have Anna. Anna, for Hebrew. Anna was a prophetess. This is a fun little treasure in the scripture. Anna was a prophetess who had been only married 7 years, and then her husband died, and she was now 84. Now, I don't know when she got married, but in Jewish culture, I would assume, unless it was unusual, it would have been pretty early. So she's been alone now for years, many, many years. And instead of just giving up on God or, I don't know, all the options that come when you encounter a real trauma and go through the process of grief, she decided to do something different. And in Luke 2, 37, it says, she never left the temple, but worshiped day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So she wasn't just a prophetess, she was kind of one of the first evangelists too, right? But Anna never left God's house and worshiped and fasted until she met him. Isn't that powerful? So some of us today might seem like we're in a process, and maybe we've even gone through something that was very painful, or maybe we're just in another kind of a process this morning. But there's waiting on God, and there's getting into the scripture, there's letting the Holy Spirit touch you and move you. And I'm just touching on that, but if you want to know more about the Holy Spirit, Pastor Caleb has a real gift in the Holy Spirit, and he would love to talk with you. But then there's one more level, which is fasting and worship. And that's another way that we can also encounter Jesus in our process. And that's not a thing that we talk a lot about, fasting. But in the new year, we are going to invite anybody who would like to participate in a 21-day fast starting on January 1st. And I think this is powerful because I've kind of wondered, how do you tie fasting into Christmas? But right here, Anna did, because she fasted until she saw Jesus. Isn't that amazing? That's some dedication. So you might find yourself today feeling like you're in the middle of a process and in need of an anchor. And I'm just going to read out a couple different processes that you might be in. Maybe you're in a process of forgiveness, of change. Maybe you're getting a new job. You're leaving an old job. Maybe you're in the process of retiring, of working. Maybe you're in the process of going to school, of becoming an empty nester, of becoming a parent. Maybe you're becoming a step-parent. Maybe you're in the process of discovering Jesus or what a relationship with God really means. Or you're in a process of changing from just visiting a church to maybe participating and using your giftings. Maybe you're in the process of learning how to be single or learning how to be married or anything in between. But one of the best gifts that God gives us at Christmas is him promising he will meet us in the process because he chose to come to earth as a heavenly process. Mary didn't just say yes and then a grown Jesus walked in the door. Wouldn't that be wonderful, right? Just Amazon delivery right there. He just walked right in. That's not exactly how that happened, right? And Joseph didn't say yes and then a hardworking son that was going to be a carpenter for the next whatever years walked right in and said, let's get to work, right? Not exactly. There was still relationship that had to be built with Mary and Joseph and Jesus, right? How about this? I realized, you know, the shepherds that we know of didn't show up to worship Jesus on the cross, right? How about the wise men? When they showed up, they didn't show up and the empty tomb was there, right? And somehow, even here, we're like, oh, isn't that amazing? But we do have to realize they showed up to a baby Jesus with faith that what they saw was not all that was to be seen. That they had faith that what they saw meant more than met the eyes. And when you're in the middle of a process and you're facing whether it's discouragement or whether it's extreme joy and excitement, there's this temptation to just expect a very specific thing from God at a specific time instead of saying, you know what, God, would you be a heavenly process with me, right? Oh, come, let us adore him was said in faith. We adore Jesus during the process, right? Joy to the world during the process. Go tell it on the mountain, there's a heavenly process that has begun on earth, right? I don't know about you, but I don't really want to sing joy to the world sometimes when I'm in the middle of a process, but that's because we need to invite on earth as it is in heaven so it can be a heavenly process. So it can look like a baby in a manger and we can have faith that there is a king on a cross and an empty tomb right there, even if we can't see it, right? So if you'd stand on your feet this morning. I know my message was a little bit more calm, maybe, than normal, but I really had this burden for anybody who does feel like they're in the middle of a process. And the word process is almost like a bad word, at least I feel like it is, right? You don't really celebrate it normally. But that really is what Christmas is all about. If you keep waiting for the end to come to Jesus, you're going to miss a God who formed man from dust and breathed into his nostrils, not afraid to get into the muddy process in Genesis 2. Don't box God out. If shepherds could see a savior and a newborn baby in a manger, what is God opening your eyes to see in your situation today? If wise men can give gifts, and I looked this up, I couldn't validate it because I was really trying to get the right price here, but one article said $2 to $3 million was what actually the wise men gave to Jesus. Even if it's less than that, that's still a lot of money, right? If the wise men could give gifts to a heavenly process in faith, what can you give God in the middle of your process today? It's so easy to say, oh God, when this is over, I'll give. And I'm not, just to be clear, I'm not just talking about finances here. Even if it's a burden, maybe it's something positive. Maybe it's, God, I will give you 10 more minutes every day when this is over. Anyone ever promised that, right? Or God, I'll give you every morning, right, for the rest of my life. If you just give me this so my process can be over, right? But the wise men had so much faith because of a man who invited God into his process named Daniel, that they knew to give during the process. That's why worship is so powerful. Even if lifting your hand feels fake, it's okay, because you're saying, God, I'm giving you something in the middle of the process, just like the wise men and the shepherds did at the manger. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory through all generations. Ephesians 3. Someone here needs to be reminded to say, I will praise you in the process, because that's how the first ever worshipers of the Messiah did on earth. We love to glorify the celebration at the cross and at the tomb, but really I think the power of worship, of course, was there 100%, but it was also here before they knew that was a guarantee. Will you worship God when there's no guarantee other than who he is? Because who he is more than anything he could ever do for you. Because that's why there's eternity. It's not just about what he does for us on earth, but it's about an eternal perspective. That even if he doesn't do what we want him to do on earth, there's an eternity where we'll have a deeper understanding, and that peace that passes understanding will make sense, right? So I just bless you this morning. If you feel like you're in the middle of a process, I bless you if this is a painful process, if this is a grieving process. I bless you if this is an exciting moment in your life, an exciting process. I bless you if this is a traumatic moment. I bless you to find Jesus in the manger, in your moment, and then not only just to come to him for help, but to actually give him something, because he alone is worthy. And we give him all the glory, not just at the tomb and the cross and when he ascended and when he's coming back, because let me tell you, he's not coming back as a baby in a manger, but we give him the glory because he's showing up that way in our daily lives right now. So Jesus, would you just remind us of the simple gospel? Father, would you slow us down to realize the power of the simple gospel? God, give us a hunger this Christmas for your word, that we would go deeper than ever before. It would make sense in ways it's never made sense before through the power of your Holy Spirit. God, if any of us need to be baptized, Father, would you just stir our hearts for that? But in all of that, remind us of the power of the simple gospel, unafraid to breathe life into dust and form something impossible. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.